Hi, it's Elise.
Hey y'all, it's Kaylin.
And this is season two. Season two, woo-hoo, of Love Her, Leave Her Wild.
A whole new season.
I know, a whole new season, a whole new me. Just kidding, I'm the same. It's only been 2 weeks.
So many gospel songs about it's a new season. It's a season of power and prosperity.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or what's coming ones to my mind right now.
Are they ones that you used to sing?
Yes.
Of course. You're going to have to sing for us one time.
I will not.
Oh, maybe you could sing our theme song that I haven't had yet.
I don't know that I can even sing anymore. You know, they say that God will take your gift away.
Oh, I'd never heard that, but
you haven't. Yeah. Like if you don't use your gifts to glorify God, then he'll take them away.
Oh, well, I don't have gifts. So
I'm in the negative of gifts as well.
It's not a thing. I know I don't have any talents.
I won't write you. I don't have any talents either. I'm just industrious. That's what Marcus tells me all the
time. Yeah, but you're a singer. I really think you should work on my theme song. Okay. Thanks.
You want a little jingle?
Yeah. Okay. I want a little jingle. So you work on
it. I'll drop a few beats for you.
Awesome. I'm super excited about this. So today's episode is, okay, stay with us, folks. It's called A Theory of Positive Disintegration. I know it sounds a little much, right? But here's the thing. A lot of these, now you see these days, a lot of these people on TikTok and Instagram, they're all these coaches, right? Dating coaches, life coaches, la, la, la. They all talk about this, but they don't know that they're talking about this. Okay. So nothing against them. You know, I love me some motivational stuff. I do. But this is really what they're talking about. And so I'd like to dive into it a little bit because it makes light of having issues for yourself, like anxiety, or they call it neuroses. I love it. Nervousness, depression, mental breakdowns. And instead of it being something that holds you back, it's actually what makes you grow.
Grow. Keyword.
Grow. So, you know, this is what I love about it is, I'm going to read a little bit here. This is not going to be all of us, you know, reading through the whole thing. Okay. But the theory of positive disintegration, TPD, is a complex theory of personality development elaborated by Kay Dabrowski. The characteristics of this theory is that some signs of mental illness, neuroses, anxiety, along with what is often considered a person's flaws, nervousness, maladjustment, are seen as positive signs that a person is developing their personality toward their personality ideal, i.e. the best, most altruistic and worthy version of themselves. In a nutshell. Okay.
Basically, you go from being a self-serving person to a self-aware person.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's pretty much where we all aspire to be. Well, most of us, I would say, right?
I would hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really think, I really like this theory in that I have found for myself, going through hard times. And I've talked about this before on Instagram. Not sure if I've ever said on the podcast, but, in the last year, specifically year, I've had a lot of really tough things happen to me in my life. And I had to start anti-anxiety medicine, because I just couldn't, and I have coping skills and I've always, you know, dealt a little bit here and there with anxiety. But nothing that I need to go to a therapist about or get medicine. It's just your normal everyday anxiety. But, I have been struggling more so because of all of the change, in my life. And so I needed to get on medicine and then get back into therapy. But in this whole situation for me, I have found more of myself. I'm learning, who my authentic self is that I've never been in my entire life. And it's coming in with a bomb, man. You know, it's just I'm one would look at me and be like, oh, that's a lot of shit going on. And now she's on anti-anxiety meds, but I look at it as opportunity for growth and change.
Me too. I think the same. I mean, it's just weird because these are all things that I have always thought, I guess, mm-hmm. or just assumed, but I didn't know that there was like a real theory for this. Mm-hmm. But when I looked into what he was all about, it was that he felt that this is for highly intelligent people.
Right.
Because they were misdiagnosed as like ADHD or bipolar or autistic or all of these other things. And when you go through like certain parts of this, like the overexcitabilities, you can empaths are a big one, like your level 5, I think, are your empaths. And it's like, you know, you see all of these character traits that you may have or may not have or whatever. But when you look around at other people, especially from history, you see that they do possess these exact characteristics. Like,
right.
It's really interesting. I enjoyed researching it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you did. So they talk about overexcitabilities, which is an interesting word for me. Okay.
For me, that means overstimulation, which is like the definition of me.
Yeah. Overstimulated. Yeah. Or kind of neurotic type of person. So the overexcitability is, according to Dabrowski's theory, some people have a higher development potential than others, which I had learned in college in one of my human development classes. I don't remember if it was this particular theory because it's been a long time since I've been in college, but I do remember that not everybody gets to the final stage of human development, which is basically being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes and be empathetic and mm-hmm. la la la. Okay. So overexcitability is what they call these types of things that we're going to talk about. Overexcitability falls within the factor of inherent or genetic predispositions toward development. They are higher than average responsiveness to stimuli. These overexcitabilities can manifest in 5 different domains. Okay. So the first one is psychomotor overexcitabilities. And these people are likely to have a lot of physical energy, talk more and faster. They're more impulsive and competitive and may turn to excessive work to deal with stress or other problems.
ADHD mm-hmm. is what this is usually. So their whole point was is like, instead of labeling people with these diagnoses, then we should just tell them that what they have is a gift. So yes. Basically identifying your gift. So identifying which overexcitability you have is right. Your gift, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, the final three that we're going to talk about actually like mean that you experience life with more intensity. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. We're getting weird. So, but you're right. Yes. Like ADHD. All right. So, that's one of the overexcitabilities that you have that, will basically, this is what you have. They're saying that if you are any of these, that you will be able to be the phoenix that rises from the ashes, right?
Well, I have ADHD and I don't feel that way.
You are. So
I'm tired of shit, actually.
I am too, but you're still here, right? And you're still kicking ass. Here. There you go. Mm. Okay. Number 2, sensual overexcitabilities. These people have a heightened response to the senses and may feel an enhanced need to touch and or be touched.
Ew.
Yeah, they may overeat and indulge in many superficial relationships, but they will also likely have a wide range of experiences interacting with others due to an aversion to loneliness and enhanced need of attention from others. So those are sensory problems.
Yeah. Right? They say that babies will not, if you are a baby who has a sensual overexcitability, that the first sign is them not liking their feet in the grass. And I read that on several different things. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, I feel like Everly loves to touch me, but she also likes the grass. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Felicity has never had an issue with the grass either. But yes, so we're talking about sensory issues. Sounds like some addiction issues, you know, with the overeating and the looks like a lot of sex, random sex.
I wonder if it all boils down to a lack of control, like, because that was, isn't that number three? I think that's number three.
Imagination.
No, sensual. Isn't that? So I think it's,
we already talked about. Yeah. That's what we were talking about right now. Sensual.
With the sensual one, I wonder if it's like that phase of life is actually from a lack of control, like, or that overexcitability comes from a life that exudes a lack of control. Like, you overeat because you can't control certain aspects of your life. Like, I know that I had that issue before because I can control that. I can control what I put into my body, whether it was overeating or undereating, whichever one, it was still me controlling that I made those decisions.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's something else that, again, many people could look down on or be ashamed of, but really it just means that you, again, are, it's a gift. It's a, it makes you a stronger person. So
if you're going to be shit, you got to go through shit.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Let's talk about, intellectual overexcitabilities. So intellectually overexcitable individuals are persistent and vocarious learners with a capacity for intense concentration and theoretical thinking. They will likely ask many questions and have an affinity for logic, puzzles, and mysteries. Yeah, that's not me.
Y'all are probably not my friends. Just kidding. Just kidding.
So these probably are like very gifted.
They're avid
people.
Readers. They're avid readers, and they're just, you know, I hate reading. I'm sorry.
I love reading.
Oh, I hate it. Everly loves to read. Like, I mean, she is obsessed. That's how we've taught her how to sit. Like, that's how she became a sitter, was because she would flip pages in her book when she was 6 months old. Like, that was her thing. We would sit her books up. She would flip her pages. Like, love.
Felicity hates reading.
Really?
Yes. Hates it.
Oh my gosh. Like, her thing now is to go get a book off her bookshelf, run to you with the book. You read it to her, and then she's going to go get another one all day long. A great time, especially for people who hate reading.
Yeah. Well, that's not her. But so if you're, I guess, I don't know what else to call this. If you're extremely intelligent and concentrated, and a theoretical thinker. So there you go.
And they said that these people actually, like, if you're not on their level, they have no tolerance for you.
Oh, sounds like my grandpa. He was like that. He did not suffer fools lightly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was he the urologist?
Yeah.
I considered Marcus an intellectual person too. Like, and he's like that. Like, if you can't relate to him, he's just like,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just my grandpa. He wasn't a warm man, but he was funny. Imagination overexcitabilities. Those with imagination overexcitability have a tendency towards visualization and are likely to be inventive, highly imaginative, intuitive, and have a greater capacity for the use of imagery and metaphor. So what is
fun.
Yeah. So what does your research say about these people?
That these are probably our, I read one place that these are your, like, people who are bipolar, that they will create their own reality.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That they, even though that they, it's not that they are doing it out of malice at all.
No.
It's just that this is, or your multiple personalities, things like this, where their reality is created.
Yes. Or schizophrenic.
Yes. Yeah. Like, it came under, like, the more intense mental illnesses. And that was where I read that, you know, if you have these diagnoses, then this is where it was really important for people to tell you that this is what you had. Like, you were actually just an imaginative person, that your gifts are larger than most, that, you know, this is a very important phase in your life, and you have the capacity to reach a level that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was really cool to see that. And they say that like a lot of your geniuses from like history, Einstein was bipolar, I think. They say that he operated in a state of mania. I'm pretty sure that's who, wasn't that him? Yeah, I think so. But it was a lot, like a lot of your people from especially scientists, like your mad, quote unquote, mad scientists were usually
just bipolar and manic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Artists were another one that were really, they all like mental illnesses like ran rampant through artists. And that's why they were such imaginative people. And their artwork was brilliant because of that, which is really cool.
Yes. Very cool. Okay. And emotional overexcitability is those with, that will likely form strong attachments to people, places, and things. They may be highly inhibited, enthusiastic, and concerned about others, social justice, and their own sense of responsibility. Generally, these people are able to effectively feel and internalize the emotions of others. That would be me.
And me.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin Luther King.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yep. That's awesome.
They say that he was like one of the most brilliant empaths to exist.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know. Yeah. And he is a level 5 person, actually.
Oh.
Of course. So he reached that ultimate level of morale, basically.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Well, I'm not shocked.
Me either.
So those are the 5 overexcitabilities that they say is how you will reach level 5. Which, did we talk about level 5? No. So let's just do, there's different levels that you can hit. Okay. I'm trying not to get too
teachery.
Yes. To like, I feel like I'm listening to like a college course, you know? But this is the last I'll read from this and then we'll just talk about it. Level 5 is the highest level of development. It's marked by alignment between personal values and behavior, and the individual tailors their actions to work towards higher goals, such as the betterment of society in general. The individual has formed their ideal personality and experiences peace with oneself. All motivation is in the higher forms of empathy, autonomy, and authenticity. Once again, you may notice the influence of another psychological theory in the description of these levels, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If any of y'all know that, that was one we talked about numerous times in college. They disagreed on some key points of development, and you can see the hierarchical development of increasingly actualized personality in both theories. So there's always, it's a running theory throughout psychology about getting to that final level in personal development, whoever you're, if it's the positive disintegration theory or Maslow's, like whatever it is, there's that final level that you get to, right?
Basically, you have to get to a point where, I mean, it tells you in the title, like positive disintegration, like good things are happening because you are disintegrating, like the person yes. that you actually are, that self-serving, egocentric person is actually being broken down yes. and built into something who is self-aware, lives with peace, and is more democratic than where you come from. They say that like level 1 is like your infants, where yeah. they're all about like taking from you. Like, you yes. know, they love you, but their whole purpose of existence when they're little is to eat poop.
Yes.
They're here to thrive, basically.
Okay.
And then your second one is like where you actually begin to act like disintegrate, and you can actually stay at level 2 or drop back down to level 1. But once you reach that level 3, you will never be a level 2 or a level 1 again.
Right. And did you talk about level 3?
Level 3 is your inner conflict. This is where shit goes down. This is where we are right now. Okay. Yeah. This is where most of us, and I feel like you're not going to be talking to a lot of level 1s on your podcast. I don't feel like they're really interested in those people aren't really interested.
Agreed.
In the life,
agreed.
I don't think. So like you're probably dealing with 2s, 3s, and 4s unless, mm-hmm. and if you got a 5 up here, tell them to hit me up, 'cause I need to talk to them.
Okay.
So, but they say that that's your inner conflict, where you actually, your personal growth really takes a hold of you, and you want to be your best self, basically.
Yes.
You become more self-aware.
Yes.
So you're obviously not going to go back to that self-serving person that is more egocentric. Like mm-hmm. that's not going to, you're not going to revert back to that really.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. That's good, y'all.
I know. Yeah. I feel personally that I'm around a level four.
Level four.
Yeah. The questioning.
Adaptive.
Yeah. The questioning and discovery level, because here's what I've been working on in therapy. So I have learned that due to my past and the trauma of my childhood, I was filling a role. Okay. So I filled this role called the hero.
Yeah.
And, this role was a role that I took onto myself, to be safe and to, try to make others safe around me. And to basically deal with things. And, that didn't go away. Right. That didn't go away for me. Like that was just who I thought I was for my whole life so far. So 40 years of being the hero, which is the strong one. And, so with all, like I just said earlier, with all the shit going down in my life and the therapy that I'm now doing, I have now realized that the role I have been playing, is not my authentic self. So I've been working on finding my authentic self for the first time in my life. That is why I feel like I'm in a level four, because I'm in the questioning and discovery.
I agree. Like when I was reading about this, like I figured that both of us would say that we were both level fours.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that this is going to be a really long phase. Like, I feel like it's not going to be as long as the level three where you just get your shit kicked in all the time.
Right.
But I do think that this is going to be a good stint. I wish that I could like turn into a level five by like next year.
Oh, well, I think if you work on it, but you know,
I don't think so. I'm kind of a little bitch. Like, I'm not, I'm really not, like, I'm tired. I'm really tired actually. Like, I do not have that amount of energy right now.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, world. I'll come back with vengeance, I promise.
Well, I think so. This is why I guess this also is like important to me, or kind of like shot out at me, is because I feel like I am in such I don't know. No, it just like such a change. Like there's so much change in my life right now. And I do believe in the universe, and I do believe in manifesting and all that. And like I've said before, I do believe that when I am going down the wrong path, the universe kicks my ass really hard. And it did. And it's, this has been about three times in my life where my whole life has turned to like a 180. And I just don't know what the fuck to do. So, but in hindsight has always told me like, it happened because I wasn't on the right path, and it put me on the right path. So, that's why I truly think that in this situation, I have been pushed along further,
right,
faster than I probably would have had it not happened. Does that make sense?
Yeah. When I think of your life, I mean this with love, you know, I do. So whoever's listening, I know you probably, you don't know me as much as you know Elise, but This is you right here. Like, I feel like you are very foundational. You are deeply rooted where you are. Like, you know who you are. You know, like you are in an adaptive state in your life. And I feel like shit around you is the problem. It's not you anymore. Like, you're not the one disintegrating. It is literally everything around you that is falling apart, I feel like. And you're just like here for the ride. And it's like, I'm gonna take it in. I'm gonna take everything in, and I'm gonna do the best that I can with it. But y'all ain't gonna fuck me up. Like, I'm not breaking this time. Like, I'm here to stay. And like, so I do agree that you're a level four, and I do like, I very like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I believe like it is really pushing me on to that level five faster than I would have. And level five could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Level five could be enlightenment.
Yeah.
you know, level five could be that, you know, the head chakra, right? It just depends on like what your beliefs are, but there's always that end point in any type of belief that you have, right?
You want me to tell you what a level five ain't going to do?
What?
They ain't going to say all lives matter. That ain't what a level five does.
That's so very true.
So y'all heard it. I mean it. And it's true. It is very true.
It is very true. Yes. I don't get the whole all lives matter thing. It just,
I've done so much reading and so like, I love Martin Luther King Jr. so much. Like, I feel like everybody should just be like him. Like that needs to be everyone's goal, is to be like him, because
yeah, I would agree with that.
Was awesome.
He was an awesome, awesome man. You know, but that's what I feel like the end goal should for all of us to be is that, you know, so whether it's level five or whether it's, you know, enlightenment, whether it's, I don't know what it is to you, but there's always that end goal. And so I think with this specific theory, it just is such a beautiful theory, because it really does, you know, just make something that is stigmatized. A lot of that stuff is stigmatized throughout our society, right? Mm-hmm. And it makes it into a beautiful thing, into something that's, like you said, a gift.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I was reading a book, Marcus got me this book because he is like concerned with the level of empathy that I have for the world, for other people. Mm. Like, and he is just like, this is going to kill you. Like, you are going to die at an early age because of the empathy that you have for others. And I was like, it was like chapter two of this book. And it was saying that being an empath is one of the greatest gifts that you'll have, but you have to learn how to use it, because if you can't manage it, it will end you. Like, it really will. Like, it will destroy you. But if you can be an empathetic person, which would be your emotional excitability, which is the one that you want to be, mm-hmm. then you can really do a lot. You can change a lot of people's lives. You can, like, whatever your goal is, it is yours. Like, you yeah. will reach that goal if you can just feel the people around you and feel yeah. the world around you and be aware and be a moral person. Like, I mean, it's so much different than how I grew up, you know, like, it's just, when I think of these things, like, this is science, like, this is science. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is not what I was taught at yeah. all, mm-hmm. but it's just called different things, I think. So even yeah. if you are a Christian, I feel like it's kind of parallel to that. Like, even if you're not like full on, it's the universe, it's science, it's psychology, you know, all of these things, like all of these things that my parents shielded me from, you know. But you can't deny it forever. I mean, these right. things do exist and they are true. But like you said, like, that level five can be a different kind of enlightenment for anyone.
Yeah.
For me, it's finding joy. Like yeah. that is what I want. I want joy, and I want other people to find joy too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So when we say level five, it's just really what that means to you. It doesn't have to be their definition of level five. I think it's different for everybody. But
unless
I think,
your definition is like being a piece of shit, but
well, and it's unfortunate. Some people never make it to, they never make it past level one or level two.
It really sucks.
It does. But I also believe in a type of reincarnation. And so, I mean, we're just might as well just get hard and heavy on this.
It's their first life.
It could be. Yeah, it could yeah. be. You know, you have to, you know, go through so many lives to get to that point. And, you know,
that you gotta go through shit to be shit.
Yeah. And I think those people then start again and start again. Like, in a past life, I only got to level one. Maybe in this life, I'll be lucky enough to what?
My jokes are too much right now. Like, I can't.
No, go ahead and say it.
No, it was not fun. Like, it's not funny. Oh, I can't even put it out loud.
But I only got to level one, and then, you know, who knows, maybe I only get to level four in this life, and then maybe my next life, it'll be five. So I don't know. I'm really hoping that this is it. this is my five eventually, and then I'm done because I've had my fun, but I'm tired.
In my next life, I feel like I need to start Botox a lot sooner. Because I fucking can't. But I don't know. Like, I feel like I have so much, I don't know. I have so much growing and learning to do. I'm scared. Like, I am honestly, I'm one of these people where I'm not scared of growth. That's, I love that. Like, I love growing as a person in every aspect of my life, like every role that I have in my life, like mom, wife, whatever. But I'm scared of the heat that comes. Like, I don't like that part. I don't like to be uncomfortable. And when I am uncomfortable, I am angry. I don't want to do nothing that I don't want to do. Like, I don't want to be forced into anything. Like, it really, I need a choice. Like, I have to make that choice. And if I'm not get, and it might be handed to me with the decision that I ultimately would have made. But the fact that I didn't get to make that choice on my own pisses me off.
Right.
Like, I will shut down completely. That's the part that really I got to, like, I don't want to go through that part of growth. I just kind of want to go, I want to skirt around it. Like, I need to kind of make a shortcut because that part is where I don't like being uncomfortable. You're doing really well being uncomfortable. Like, I'm watching you be uncomfortable and you're handling it. And I've told you this a long time ago. Like, you are handling it with grace that I do not have. Like,
well, thank you. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that.
But it is like that. Like, people are watching you and you might not, I mean, you know, people watch you, like people on your social media, whatever, but people are actually really watching this process with you. And I feel like it's pretty amazing to watch you hold it together and to watch you grow this way. Like, I'm so glad that I get to be here for this. Like I said it a while ago, I'm really excited to be here for this, but this shit hurts, y'all. Like, to watch this process as someone who doesn't like being uncomfortable, it's hard. It's hard to watch. I can only imagine when I imagine being where you are. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't do it. Like, I can't, I will be there with you, but I can't do it like you, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely hard. I will tell you that much, but I am so excited and pumped for it, you know? So every time I go, I do a therapy session. I'm like excited to go into it. And I'm excited when I come out of it.
She is not lying, y'all. She is lying.
I'm always like, that was the most amazing therapy session ever. Because I am, I'm so ready for change. I'm so pumped for it. I'm so like excited about what my life is going to be once I do the work. And it's not easy work. And some of it's like really hard. It's just, sometimes you're just like forced to look at things and think, damn. And it could get you mad all over again. Like, you know, this person did this to me and this person did that to me. And, get really pissed off because, you know, for a long time, it wasn't even under your control. My childhood was not under my control.
Right.
You know, and it could piss you off all over again, or you can just jump into it and learn how things work and how to look at things differently. And so that's what I'm really into, is just seeing it as, something that I've never, you know, thought of before, as, you know, because I internalized it so much.
And but you were still a person of substance. Like,
yeah,
I remember this like way back when, like when I first started talking to you, it was like, I needed friends who had been through things, because that's the only way. Do you remember this conversation? It was like very early on. And I was like, you know, I don't have many friends because I need friends who have been through some shit, because I need substance. Like, if you're not a woman of substance or a person with substance, like, I can't connect with you because I need that. Mm-hmm. Like, I need for you to be emotionally aware.
Mm-hmm.
And it that's ultimately what this is saying, is like, you have to go through that shit in order to get here.
Yeah.
And you have to grow from it. Like, you can't let it beat you down. Like, you can't let it ruin your life. You can't dwell on it, but for so long, like, because then it takes control of you. Like, right. You are no longer in control anymore. You're letting this situation control you. And I can't be friends with a situation. I'm friends with you as a person, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But you have to, yeah, you have to fucking go through it, man. I mean, that's just what it is. What?
I can't.
Yeah, like, you can do it. Like I said, I was forced into it. I really, truly feel like the universe kicked my ass into this path. And even, you know, talking to my therapist about people that have played pivotal roles in my life, that weren't the best, you know, maybe it was their turn to play the villain in my life to get me here, which really makes me internalize it less, because right. I really have to, like, the thing is, I was walking around, you know, just with this big gaping wound, mm-hmm. you know, and I've really had to learn how to heal myself, because that wound also attracts a lot of really bad people.
Right.
And she said to me, which was,
some people just like to look at the shit show. Like, yeah. Some people are just there to watch, and not some there to help. Are,
you know, victimize, you know, they like the victim, you know. I don't have, mm-hmm. she did say, you know, when I met you, you didn't have the victim sign flashing on your forehead, which is a good thing, but I was still attracting,
agreed,
not great people into my life. And she told me, which was really profound, that, you know, if I broke my arm when I was 5, I don't introduce myself to someone at 40 and say, "Hi, I'm Elise, and I broke my hand or my arm when I was 5. Mm-hmm. So why am I still carrying around certain things that right. that's not a part of me? It just happened to my body, but my soul, my spirit, you know, whatever right. is still intact. That was always me. Nothing can change that. No one can change that except for me," which was very key to me, to like placing myself in the observer form. Right. Rather than feeling it all. And, you know, cause little Elise, which I call her, like, kid Elise, is still like in there crying and, you know, needed help. And so with all of this said, with all of this, you know, the anxiety that I've been feeling, because of the dissolution of my marriage and my mom dying and my dad died and, you know, lots and lots of things, in my future, has really, that's a disintegration, correct? Yeah. Wouldn't you call correct. That?
It's not a self. That's what I was getting ready. That's what I was like trying to remember it. And I had my finger up, but it's that the things around you are actually that was what I was saying earlier, is like the things around you are what are disintegrating. Your marriage disintegrating, the situation with your mom is disintegrating. All of these things are disintegrating around you while you stand firm in who you are. And you use all of that to become stronger and more deeply rooted. Like, and that is something to be fucking proud of, because like I said, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm watching it. Like, y'all, like, I'll talk to Elise and it's like, and this isn't a pity party or whatever, but like my heart just fucking hurts for her, because she's going through shit that I can't fix. There's nothing I can send her in the mail. There's nothing that I can say. There's nothing that I can do other than to let her know that I love her and I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's like, I can be here all I want to. I'm not mm-hmm. there. I'm not you. Like, it mm-hmm. doesn't make it any better. But to watch you go through that is really hard. And like, it's just, there is so much. I'm so glad that you are taking on this approach, because there is so much that you're going to do from all of this. Like, if you truly do use this as a way to grow, like, the world better buckle up is all I'm going to say, because yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Some people are just special, you know, like some people are just special. And
I hope, I don't know if I'm special, but,
you sound like me accepting a compliment. Yeah. Merry Christmas.
I try. I try real hard. I try real hard to say thank you. So thank you. You know, but yeah, I do agree with you though. I agree with you. Watch out, worlds, because now I'm learning my authentic self and I'm pouring the energy into myself, obviously, as well as into my daughter. She is not being ignored or denied. Trust me on that.
We all know. Oh, my God. The fact that you even have this, do not edit this out. Like the fact that you even had to say that is so rude. Everybody's like rolling their eyes. Like, we know Flick. We all know Flick.
Yeah. She's still very, very important to me.
She's my bestie.
Yeah, she is. She is. But I just, you know, I don't know. I found that theory comforting. I thought maybe it could be comforting for others. I think also in the fact that, like, I don't know, you know, when you're going through something hard and you don't want just someone, you know, yelling at you on TikTok or Instagram about how, like, you could get through this and make this change and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just like, yeah, okay, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know? But maybe in more of a way of like, understanding the psychological aspect and in a conversation that, you know, is more keyed in to someone who, you know, has a job as a medical assign professional them a pur- or
a purpose. Yeah. Like just assign your own assign everyone, every circumstance in your life, assign it a purpose, assign yourself your purpose, give it a purpose. If you are in the midst of this turmoil, I feel like assigning those purposes is the one thing that will save your sanity. Like, imagine if you didn't do that, if you didn't assign your own purpose in this, like if you were just like, why is this happening? Because that's what, if you don't assign your own purpose, which is growth, then that's how it feels, which is what I would do and be like, oh my God, I can't handle it. Like, I can't even think about it. Like, I cannot even think about it, but you have to assign those purposes and realize that this is happening because I needed it to, like, these things need to disintegrate. These things need to fall apart. So mm-hmm. other things can fall together. And
right.
all of these cliche sayings that we've heard our entire life and like posted on MySpace back mm-hmm. in the day, yeah. like I feel like are actually legit now that I can look back on it from a more like scientific approach, like mm-hmm. with a different understanding, like now things just make more sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I just, you know, like I said, just wanted to have that conversation. And I do want to do a whole episode about assigning meaning, because that's such a huge, huge deal that not many of us know about, and that I just learned about over this past year, which has helped me immensely. And I do want to dedicate a whole episode to that. But I think that's really important. And like I said, I just wanted it to come from a place of theory and a place of knowledge instead of someone, you know, like I said, that's, and there's nothing wrong with these people. And if they give you what they give you and it's great, that's great. But sometimes, you know, someone who's a personal trainer, you know, telling you, you know, blah, 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 or yelling at you about you're going to get through this. Sometimes it's just easier to, you know, have that conversation, really understand intellectually that this is a thing that's a theorized in the psychology world. And, you know, like you said, which I love, is that they're gifts. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
And not everyone is for everyone. I'm sure that there's people who, I've said this in a previous episode, where it's like, I'm a very much an acquired taste. Like, I'm not for everyone. Nobody is for everyone.
That's true.
Just remember that. Like, just remember that. And that's okay. You don't want to be for everyone. Who right. don't want to be that. If you are one person who is for everyone, then there needs disintegration needs to occur, because that's not where you really want to be either. So it's like these things that make you different, mm-hmm. that make you, that these gifts that you have in according to this theory are actually just where your foundation is. Like, these are your foundational beliefs, or your foundational beliefs, like foundational of who you are, everything, your foundational characteristics of yourself, like everything is based off of these, and you just have to embrace it and learn how to use it and maximize your potential, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Just fucking grow.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it is scary, but I mean, you got this. And even you, Kay, you got this. You do. Yeah, you can. And stop saying you can't, because you're putting that out in the universe.
I hear you. I got it. So, yes. We can't talk about it, because if we talk about it, then it like puts it into existence, and I just can't.
Like, you can.
I mean, I can. There's just not enough. There's not enough alcohol right now.
Lord. But I do believe, like, what I've seen in you, there's been a few things where I'm just like, okay, you seem to be, I don't know what the word is, like, zen? No, absolutely not. You are probably the least zen person I know.
I have a very weird,
passionate,
but I also, chaos is like what fuels me in a very weird way. I'm a very odd person though. Like, I don't know, but I can admit when I'm really fucked up. Like, and I've kind of been fucked up a lot. So
I think, but I do think that you are, you know, I don't know. I feel like you're growing too in your own way. And I think if you put more effort into yourself, that, you know, I know it's hard, and
it is so hard. Why is that so hard? Like,
I don't know. I don't know, because as women, we're told that all the effort goes into our kids and our husbands. Yeah, exactly. And so that's hard. And that's why, again, another reason my marriage isn't anymore. Cause I was not putting any of myself into myself. That's just how it is.
If I would have put myself into myself, I would never have been married the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Like, to really, like, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking, but
yeah, exactly. So I don't know. It's something to think about. I'm looking forward to, you know, more conversations like these this season. Like I said, I really want to get into the assigning a meaning and, you know, other things like that. Please submit any topics or questions that you want through our website. It's www.loveherleaveherwild.com. It's all one word. And just submit it through the form, because I'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to rate our podcast on Apple. Give it 5 stars, please, if you will, and leave us a nice little review. We are sponsored by Rose and Grace. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram. My upcoming ebook, Love Her, Leave Her Wild. Dear Mom, the organization for supporting mothers with children with Down syndrome. So thanks for joining us. And I really think this was a good talk, and I really hope you got a lot from it. If you have any further questions about it, you know, again, please, you know, hit us up on our website. That would be great. And, yeah, so, you know, congratulations if you have, an overexcitability and you're a pretty special person, and, yeah, you're a little Phoenix out there. And Kay is going to work on our theme song. So,
oh yeah,
get ready for that, baby. So until
if you feel like you just smoked a big blunt during this episode, you were listening very well, and I appreciate you.
I know it's not your usual podcast stuff, but you know,
it's good. I like it. Marcus was impressed. My oldest stepdaughter, she was impressed. Like, she was just like, oh, really
about the topic?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she says that she listens to every episode.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Shout out to Anya. I love you.
Shout out Anya.
My What's other up, girl? Firstborn. So she was just like, oh, really? Because she's very much overexcitability, all of them.
So
she's like, how do I exist like this? Like, that's like her big thing. So
Well,
there are people who are interested in these theories.
Wow. She's all five?
Yeah, very much.
Wow. Ooh, I wonder if she'll get to a level six.
Maybe. She is my she is my biological child. I'm telling you, it's very weird. I have two firstborns.
Aw, that's so sweet. So, well, one day I'm going to meet her.
Yes, you are.
So, I'm glad they're supporting our podcast. And I thank you all for supporting our podcast until next week. And then we'll have a topic for you then. I'm not sure what it is yet.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye.